know you are. I know you do. Not as much as I love you. Amen. What's that? Yeah, I know. One-on-one evangelism. We'll feel it. We're going to feel it. We're going to feel it. Isn't that exciting? Isn't it exciting what God is doing in our midst? Amen. Brother and sister May, you have no idea how thankful I am that you are going to be close to us very soon. And I'm sure you're excited too, because this is your family and we're going to take care of you. And that's going to make it a lot easier for us to take care of you. Amen. So they're not moving this Saturday, but next Saturday they will be moving on. So we'll need all the help that we can get. And so please help us. We're moving a whole house. I mean, a whole house. And we need to make sure we do everything we can to help them and get them set up. Sister May, do you need help packing? Okay, very good. All righty. Awesome. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. So we're going to go down a road. I got about 33 minutes to share it with you, 43 minutes to share it with you. I'll try my best to get, I got a lot of content. I got 2 pages of note, but everything is scripture. So I got a whole bunch of scripture I'm going to share with you. We're going to set a foundation, storehouse of blessings is what I'm going to be teaching for the next few weeks. And I'm going to talk to you about a very important theology for our day, but it's been lost along the way because people don't, they're afraid to teach it. They're afraid to talk about these things. And the reason why they're afraid to talk about it is because they don't understand it. So if I can give you a foundation of understanding, then you'll be more apt to talk about it as you're discipling your family and discipling friends and discipling people, okay? So these things are very, very important. Blessing is a very powerful word. The word blessing comes from a Hebrew word, which really means to kneel. It means to kneel. It's interesting to try to follow what blessing means, but if I could explain it to you like this, it would be like you standing in front of the king, and you would kneel down, and the king would knight you with knighthood or bestow some honorarium or authority or something on you, a promotion. That's what blessing is. That's the best way to explain it. We'll go a little bit deeper in it, and we'll look at the different iterations of the word blessing in both Hebrew and Greek. It's primarily used in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, and so these are very important things. So I want to lay some foundation tonight. The first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at faith and grace and obedience. And we'll do a little doctrine when it comes to the scripture that we are saved by grace through faith. We're going to talk about that. And not much, but I'm going to tie faith, grace, which is unmerited favor. I'm going to tie that to obedience. And we'll see what happens, okay? So Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 through 20. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Everybody say wealth. Okay, now that's not coin. It's not dollar bills. It's strength. It's strength. Everybody say strength. So the word here, the Hebrew word, means strength. For it is he that giveth thee power to get what? Strength. All right, now, strength how? This is a very general term that deals with posterity and to prosper. There are a lot of areas in our life that needs to be strengthened. So this doesn't just deal with your pocketbook. This also deals with structure of your home. It deals with your job. It deals with the basic foundations of life. And it all relates to the physical and the material. It all relates to the physical and the material. So, for it is he that giveth thee power to get strength, so that the areas of your life are strengthened. What are the areas of your life that need strengthened? Okay? So there's a lot of things that we need undergirded just to live from day to day. Okay? Why? Why? Everybody say why. That he may establish his covenant which he swear unto who? Thy fathers. So he's pointing back, God is pointing back to previous generations. Who are the fathers of Israel? Well, we have to go back to the very first father, and that was Abraham. Abraham was not a Jew. Everybody say amen. He was not. Abraham was Abraham. He was a Canaanite. And so before there were Jews, Abraham was. Okay? But he was their father. Abraham was their father. You go back to Sunday school, and I see a lot of ex-Sunday school teachers, retired Sunday school teachers, and not a one of you got away teaching without singing this song. Father Abraham had many sons. All right, okay, so you know the, and I am one of them. Is there truth to what we're singing? Am I a son or a daughter of Abraham? That's a great question, because there's a lot of folks out there that would distort the word and say no. Their problem is they forget in their understanding of the word that before the Jewish people came from the seed of Isaac, there was another people group that came from Ishmael. Ishmael was Abraham's son. Okay? So Abraham is the father of nations. That's what it means. Now watch this. That he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto his fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient. Everybody say obedient. Unto the voice of the Lord your God. Now, when we read Deuteronomy, there is a group of people who want to say that everything in the book of Deuteronomy has been abolished. There is no reason for us to operate under anything that is in the book of Deuteronomy, because Jesus came and he fulfilled it all. He did. He did come and he broke the curse. All right, and the purpose of the law was to what? And we'll read about all this here in just a minute. The purpose of the law was to bring about a sense of guilt to the conscience of sinning people, that they would do right. In blessing, I will bless you. In cursing, I will curse you. If you're obedient, you're going to be blessed. If you're disobedient, you're going to be cursed. Now, that is the Levitical law. That is the law. Moses' law, the law that God gave to Moses for the children of Israel, for the Jews. But this is not the covenant or law that he gave to Abraham. Now, we were grafted into a vine, and because we're grafted in, or because we're because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, the Bible says that we have become heirs of Abraham's promises. Now check this out. This is good stuff here. So I'm building a foundation. So with that in mind, and we'll read some scripture on this. With that in mind, you have to understand that we're not talking about blessing and cursing when it deals with the law. So right now I want to tell you that I'm not talking about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, that's the negative side, or dollar for a dollar. I'm not talking about that, all right? What I am going to talk to you about is obedience. obedience brings blessing. Better yet, obedience opens the storehouse of blessing. Okay? So watch this. Let's go on here. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 and let's look at this covenant that was established with Abraham, because it comes in stages. First, it's given to us in chapter 12. Then it's talked about in chapter 15. And then in chapter 17, the covenant, the deal was sealed. Okay? So let's read this. First, let's read. I'm not going to read from 15 because we got a lot of ground to cover. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from your family, your kind, your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. You're just going to go, all right? So what is the first thing that happens or that is established in this verse? The first thing that is established is I want you to go to somewhere you don't know where you're going. And if you do this, it's going to be a walk by faith and not by sight. So the very first thing that is established with Abram is faith. Faith. Faith will cause one to be obedient. If Abraham did not have faith in God, he would have never been obedient to leave. Okay, you still with me? All right, watch this. And let's see here. I will make of you a great nation. That's number one. I will bless thee. I'm going to put my favor upon you. And make thy name great. You're going to be famous in all the lands. Your name's going to be famous. Okay? And you're going to be a blessing to others. And if anybody messes with you, in blessing, I'm going to bless them. And if anybody messes with you and curses you, I'm going to take care of business. I'm going to take care of business. And in thee shall all, everybody say all, families of the earth be what? Blessed. Okay? Now, verse chapter 15, it talks a little bit more about this. But I want to skip to Genesis 17, and I want to read to you about this covenant. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee. And now we go from blessing to what? Multiplying. Blessing is one thing, multiplying is another. Okay, now go to Peter. I'm not going to talk about this tonight, but go to Peter. When Peter said, Lord, we've given up everything to follow you, Jesus looks at him and he says, you're going to have manifold blessings both here on the earth. He says on the earth and in heaven. Manifold is a multiplication term and it means 100 times. It's a specific number. It means 100 times. Okay? How could Jesus say that to Peter? All right? How could he say that to Peter? How could he extend those blessings to Peter if he settles it all on the cross and that's it? And then at that point, all blessings are simply spiritual. Because Jesus himself would have told Peter a story. But that's not true. Okay, so stay with me. Let's go further. All right? And in verse 3, he says, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Okay? I'm going to change your name to Abraham. Verse 6, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make the nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between, watch this, me and your children, that's seed in this verse means children, and after thee in their generations, which is implicit of generation after generation And he says, for an everlasting. In other words, it does not end. It's everlasting. Now, he doesn't say it will be for a time and then fulfilled. He says it is everlasting. Why would God make the claim that this covenant of blessing, why would he make the claim to Abraham that it was everlasting if he was going to pull back from it at the cross? That's, God does not contradict himself. So it's an everlasting covenant. To be a God unto thee and to your children after thee. Okay, now, that's the Old Testament, and I want to jump now into the New Testament. Are you still with me? Okay, so we get into the New Testament. The first place I want to go to is to Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 4, and then we'll look at some other scripture. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Well then, and I'm reading, I believe, from the Amplified, but you can follow along in the King James. Well then, has God failed to fulfill his promise to Israel? No. For not all who are born into the nation of Israel are truly members of God's people. Verse 7, this is where I want your emphasis at. Being descendants of Abraham doesn't make them truly Abraham's children. For the scripture says, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted, though Abraham had other children too. This means that Abraham's physical descendants are not, in verse 8, this means that Abraham's physical descendants are not necessarily children of God. Watch this. Only the children of the promise are considered to be Abraham's children. What is this talking about? It is talking about entering into the covenant of Abraham by way of the cross, by way of the death, burial, and resurrection, by way of baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You walk into becoming Abraham's children. So you got to think about this for a moment. The Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ. That means we got a portion in heaven. But now it's also saying that we're Abraham's children, which means that we have access to the promises that God bestowed upon Abraham. Okay? You still with me? All right. So watch this. Let's go further. We'll go deeper into this. Let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise to Abraham or his posterity, his kids, that he should inherit the world, he should what? He should what? Did not come through observing the commands of the law, but through the righteousness of faith. In other words, Abraham did not receive the blessings or the promises of this earth, the things of this earth, and we know a lot about Abraham, how God blessed him physically, monetarily, and emotionally, how God used him. His servants were a powerful army, and they defeated kings, and they spoiled their goods. And the king of Sodom wanted to give Abraham all these spoiled goods, and Abraham said, no, I'm not taking the goods because I don't want people to say, well, you've accumulated all this because of the exploits you've done on earth. I don't want that. I want people to know that God has blessed me. That God has blessed me. There's another secret right there. Okay? Now watch this. He said he didn't do it because of the law. It's not because of a law, Mosaic law, promise. Okay, it was because of what? It was because of faith. All right, the law, but through the faith. Okay, let's jump down. Let's see. If it is, verse 14, if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, then faith is made futile and empty of all meaning, and the promise of God is made void. In other words, if we go back and we depend on the blessing and the cursing that was given to the Mosaic through the Mosaic law, then we are going to function outside of the realm of faith. And if we function outside of the realm of faith, then faith becomes futile. It has no value. It has no worth. Okay, are you still with me? In order that it might be given, verse 15. For the law results in divine wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression of it either. Verse 16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith, in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor. So now we're starting to tie faith and grace together. Okay? Stay with me here. To make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to be devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, watch this, and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor either has entered into the heart of man that which the Spirit has prepared for them. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost right now? I do. Let's see here. Verse 19. Now let me finish. Hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, and he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. Verse 19, watch this. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body. I'm 99 years old. I cannot procreate, but you said I'm going to be the daddy, the father of many nations. And the Bible, Paul says, he did not weaken in his faith. My God, help us, Lord, not to weaken while we're waiting on what you have promised us in this house. I want you to think about this for a moment. We've had a family come around here the last few weeks. He grew up in this church. You know who I'm talking about, Alan. And he's been coming around, and it's been a slow process. But mama and daddy never fainted in their faith that their son would come home to God. And God is working it right now. How many promises have we let go because we view where we are versus the possibility of it ever happening? Man, I feel God right now. Boy, Paul's a pretty powerful writer, isn't he? Wish I could write like him. Which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old, or the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. So it wasn't the fact that he was just impotent, it was the fact that she was dead too. So in order for them to have a child, God had to work a double miracle. Are you hearing me? Well, if God does this and he doesn't do that, it ain't gonna matter. Can I tell you, if he promised you that he is going to do it, it don't matter if you have to work 2 miracles, 3 miracles, 4 miracles, in order for it to be established, it's going to be established. Somebody ought to praise him right now. And what's a miracle to us is just the daily work of God going about his business. Why? Because he's the great I Am.
And everything is subject to His word and His will and His desire.
Verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question it. It's not just even a matter of not believing. It's a matter of even questioning the idea. Sister Hall and I were riding home today. I took her out for her birthday because this is it. All you guys that get to take off for your birthdays, enjoy it. You're blessed. Me and my wife, we never get to celebrate our birthdays on our birthdays. It's either church, business, children. You'll get there one day if you're not already there. It's just not that important. It's important, but it's not that important. So today we went, and I took her to Castleton Square Mall, and she likes to go shopping and never buy anything. Thank you, Jesus. And so we went over to P.F. Chang's, and that's what she really wanted. She got me to make her way down there so she could go have some P.F. Chang's. So we went to P.F. Chang's, and then she wanted cheesecake, so I went over to Cheesecake Factory and got her some cheesecake. And we drove home, and on the way home, she said, honey, she says, I want to walk where I can feel the glory of God around me all the time. She said, I want to get to a place where God is showing me things by sight, and I don't have to fight to see it or fight to hear it. And so I said, well, let me help you with that. I began to tell her, I said, you know, I want to go back. You remember when I told you a little over a year and a half ago, two years ago now almost, and I said, the Lord told me that I had to learn faith. I had to get faith. I told you about this in the church. And I told her, I said, you know, the Lord really dealt with me. And I told the Lord I had faith. I got faith. I mean, I've seen God do a lot of things through my ministry. And I've got faith. I'm not a doubter. I'm not a doubter. I'm a questioner. I was a questioner. I told the Lord I already had faith. He said, no, you need the kind of faith that you get out of the boat and walk on water faith. And I said, well, what kind of faith is that? He says, that's the place where you live and it becomes second nature to just believe in the impossible. That impossibility is no longer part of your vocabulary. And you got to get to a place where you live that. And I told her, I said, Melissa, I said, you'll get to a place where you just come in and you'll pray. And you could pray for 30 minutes and break through to the Holy Ghost. I said, but I'm at a place now where I can walk in this sanctuary and within 2 minutes sit down and just listen to the voice of the Lord begin to deal with me on things. I said, but here's the key. Here's the key. Don't tell Him what you want to hear. Tell Him that you want to hear what He has to say. And if you'll say, Lord, just tell me what you have for me today, He gonna start talking real quick. He's been trying to talk to the church for 2,000 years. But we never shut up to hear Him. Because it's always about what we want to hear Him say. I want to hear God order my steps. I don't want to order my steps no more. I want you to order my steps. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to know what you want to communicate to the church. So it changed the way that I started praying. And I told her, I said, I changed the way that you're praying. Stop asking the Lord to give you answers about certain situations. And just say, Lord, tell me what you need to tell me today. And not worry about the situation. Because if you'll start listening and doing what He's telling you to do, He'll take care of everything else. That's why Peter sank. It's because he got his eyes on something he could not control. He couldn't control the wind and the waves, but he could control his eyes looking at Jesus. bid me come. Well, come on, Peter. And Peter listens to the voice and follows the voice. But when he steps on out on something and takes a few, I don't know how many steps he took. I just know that he looked down, and when he took his eyes off and started thinking about himself, he started to sink. As long as we're focused on him, you'll never sink. That was free. As long as you keep your eyes on him, as long as you hear what he has to say, you'll never sink. Let me go on. No doubting questions concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. Verse 21, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Verse 22, that is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Verse 23, it was credited to him, were written not for his sake alone. Verse 24, but they were written for our sakes too. Righteousness, standing accountable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead. So let's look at faith and grace, because that's what this was all about. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. Remember when I was a young man, I used to get real upset at Carol Magruder's song, We're Saved by Grace. I used to get so upset at that song because I couldn't understand it. I'm like, he's preaching the Baptist theology. Turn that. I was like in the high school or something. He's preaching. I had no understanding of this. I had no understanding of it. But I do now. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through and not of, it is the, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now we have a conundrum here. Because baptism is a work. Because I've watched him work at baptizing people. And I've worked at baptizing. It's a work. The washing away of sins is not a work that I do. That's what Jesus does. Boy, that'll preach. I'm going to leave that alone for a while. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained us. So we have all these things here. We got works. We got good works. We have grace. We have faith. And we have this whole conundrum of how do we interpret these words, because we have this. Here's the problem with apostolics is we get so afraid of other denominations' theology when they put hyper bullet points, or they hyper illustrate, or they underline it and put more emphasis on it than we do, right? We run away from that and we're afraid of it. It's in the Bible. I mean, for God so loved the world, he did, that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus was the only begotten of the Father, which means he was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin. We can't be afraid of that stuff, because it's true. It's the Word. That's right, it's the Word. Don't be afraid of Matthew 28, 19. That's a powerful scripture. I'm a dad. I'm a son. All right, so I want to read this to you in the New Living Translation, okay? So I want to read it. Oh, he's going into one of them other versions of the Bible again. Just stay with me. Sometimes it's good because it helps our understanding. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Boy, doesn't that really help with that? Because before, reading it in the King James, we're all about you know, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior because you can't do it by yourself. There's nothing you can do. It's all Him. It's all Him. But this gives us a little bit deeper understanding. God saved you by His grace when you did what? Is believing a work? Is believing an action? Conundrum. Is believing an action? It is something that you have to do. It's a choice. It certainly is a choice. Okay? Now, works, you're starting to see that when we refer to works, we're referring to what the Wesleyans taught as a way to heaven by means of holiness standards. So if you know anything about the Wesleyan movement, you will know that one of the things that they taught is that if you lived a certain lifestyle, that you acted in a certain way, that you abstained from certain things, that you dressed in a certain type of clothing, that would save you. But we know that salvation has to first come by way of faith. Now, the Greek word for faith in every New Testament passage of Scripture read, including Romans, is the Greek word pistos. And they all mean the same thing. And it's all believing. It's making a confession of believing. It is an attitude of unwavering trust in God. It's an attitude. Okay, so are you still with me? So let me go on. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Does that give you a little bit more clarity of this scripture? Watch this. For we are God's masterpiece. In other words, He has made us. We were born again. And when we were born again, we are now a masterpiece. Watch this. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. Are you living in the will of God? Are you living in the will of God? So He has given us unmerited favor because of what? Our faith. It's our faith that activated His unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it, right? Was His merited favor there before we believed? Sure it was. But what caused it to fall on us specifically? What caused us to come into that revelation of faith, of grace, is because we believed. It is because we believed. Now, you come into the church, you get baptized in Jesus' name, you get filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're a new creature. Is that where it stops? Does grace continue with you? It does. I remember Brother Lambert preaching before I went and evangelized. He preached a message, "Don't frustrate grace." And he pulled it out of Galatians. It always stuck with me, right? It's a great message. You ought to teach that again sometime. So grace will stay with you. It will all right? But here's what you have to understand. You can be in the church. You can be apostolic in doctrine. You can walk the walk and talk the talk, and favor will be there. But you can miss out on the blessings, the promises. You can miss out on some things. Well, I don't, help me with that. I'm going to. Let me help you with that. Mark 16:16. So obedience releases. Obedience releases some things. He has given us unmerited favor. We've found it because of faith. Faith is an action on our part. It is an attitude of believing. And this is what opens up the storehouse of blessings. All this is foundational. I'm going to build off this in the coming weeks. When our faith meets His grace, we are created anew and thrust into a life now that requires us to obey. So when we're saved, we are now given the responsibility and we are being held accountable to do what? Obey. To be obedient. The wages of sin is death. So now we're obligated to obey what the Word of God says. Now, we've been given a whole lot of things to obey. We've been given a whole lot of things to obey. And so we have to be very careful in how we approach the Word of God when it comes to releasing His blessings upon us. I've watched people go to church all their lives and be miserable. And they never found joy. I've seen them pray for years for God to move on them in their home, and it never happened. And people all around them being touched and moved, and some would just chalk it off and say, well, it's just not for everybody. I disagree with that. Because when you live in the kingdom and you graduate to a royal priesthood, then there ought to be some things in your life. All right, so watch this. Let's go to Mark chapter 16:16. He that believeth and is shall be. So where is grace found in that? I mean, I can answer the question for you. But we definitely see faith. And we definitely see obedience. But he that believeth not, don't matter if you believe. Obedience doesn't matter if you don't believe. He that believeth not shall be condemned. So that is the first level of understanding faith, grace, and obedience and how they work together. When you obey, you're going to do the works, the good works, as I read earlier. For we are His workmanship, creating Christ Jesus unto good works. We're going to obey and do His good works. What's the next verse after that in verse 17? What is that? Read, pop it up there. It's a great verse. Maybe. How are we doing back here? There we go. Check that out. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In My name, they shall cast out devils. Is that a work? That's a work. It's the result of obedience and the result of faith. Believe, be obedient to the plan of salvation, and then look what happens. The Holy Ghost comes upon you in such a way that you start operating in a higher level of blessing. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. All right, you get the idea. But what about the levels of blessings that comes after our conversion? So there are many scriptures in the Bible that capture on the idea of obedience, releasing blessings upon our lives. I don't even have to look to the Bible to tell you that if you will commit to the job that you work and give 100%, and do the things right, and do really good at it, I don't have to explain to you that more than likely, you're going to get paid good, treated good, and likely get promotion down the road, unless you're working for a bad company. All right? But if you'll give it 100%, you're going to get back 100%. We don't even need to look to the Bible to say that obedience releases blessing and favor. Just do it. Just do that which you know is right, and blessings are released into your life, okay? So let me read this last scripture to you, and then I will go on. Now, I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 28, verse 1. And I started out by saying that the blessings that are found in the Mosaic Law are they're under that law, right? So we can say that Deuteronomy 28 really doesn't apply to us today. And you could say that from the standpoint of it being the law has been fulfilled. I absolutely agree with that. I have no problem with that. But God has given us all the Word of God, not to dispense with any of it, but to take the lines, which is literally what the Word says, and the literal foundations, but it also says precepts. So we have the line and we have the precept. And it's very important that we understand that precepts are just as important as lines. And so if I tell you that through obedience, God will bless you, God will bless you. How many of you believe in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble them. Anybody here believe that? Has that been done away with? Do you think that God would answer his people by way of his people obeying him? Absolutely. So there are blessings that come through obedience. There are blessings that come through obedience. So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe, to be obedient, and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Stand, you stand. Everybody else, Samarian sitting, you stand. Come over here. How many legs does he have? He has two. If I took one of those legs away, he'd have a pretty rough foundation, wouldn't he? So the Old Testament is one leg, and the New Testament is the other leg. The Old Testament is Israel, and the other leg is the church. Are you with me? If I take one of these legs away, then the foundation crumbles. God had a plan for us. He had a plan for his people. You have to understand that he desires to move among us. He desires to settle in with us. And we are now, Israel is going to be protected in the end time. I mean, the Bible talks about them running to the caves and the hills and all that. I get all that. But there will be a remnant of Israel that is preserved. God will preserve a remnant of Israel. He's going to preserve that leg. And the church, he's going to take care of the church in the last day. It's going to be taken care of. So what you're seeing, thank you, what you're seeing right now, stay your feet, what you're seeing right now with this awakening that's happening is God is really, literally no respecter of persons right now, and he is pouring his Spirit out upon all flesh, and in order for his church to operate in this last day, it's going to come by way of different kinds of blessings being poured out upon the church. Maybe things we've not seen before. I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm not talking about dollar bills and wallets and pocketbooks being filled. I'm talking about wealth. I'm talking about strength, real strength. I'm talking about Holy Ghost strength. He is strengthening his people for the time that we are living and heading into. And this season that we're in right now is marked. It's marked by so many things that have been dormant for so long. And we're just beginning to see the fruition of it. So when I say blessings, what are you talking about? I'm talking about operating in the presence of God. I'm talking about walking in a favor with God, where we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's what I'm talking about when a Pam Hendershot walks down to the altar and somebody lays hands on her, who she's had severe back pain forever, and all of a sudden God just takes it away, or Chad, your ex-wife, when she come down to this altar, told me just a few weeks when we baptized Gabby, I don't believe in God. I'm just not on all of that. And all of a sudden, God fills her with the Holy Ghost right here Sunday. He's strengthening the church right now so that we're ready for when he really does open the floodgates. And if 100 people walk through that door right now, we wouldn't be able to handle it. But you give us a year, and we have a foundation. You watch these little kids, they walk around, and God uses and pray people through the Holy Ghost. We're building a foundation. And in a little while, we're going to be able to handle 100 people walking in this door at the same time. And we're going to see masses get the Holy Ghost. And we're going to see masses healed. And we're going to see God, His fame, not our fame. We're going to see His fame distributed all over this region. Woo! We're going to see His name lifted up and praised. We're going to see Him glorified and magnified. Hallelujah. And so blessings, everybody say blessings, are accessed by our obedience. Now, I'm going to start next week with a verse in John that backs up everything that I said today. It's in John chapter 15 when Jesus talks about, the key word is abide, and He talks about keeping His commandments, and it talks about them being able to accomplish everything they want to accomplish by way of obedience. So I'll tie all this in that I taught tonight with that. We'll start with those scriptures next week, because this is the key. This is the key to opening the storehouse, His storehouse, not our storehouse. I'm not talking about our barns. I'm talking about His storehouse, because I want what's flowing out. Ezekiel talked about a trickle of water flowing out from underneath the throne, through the threshold, out of the holy, and down. And as it went further away, it grew bigger and bigger. And Ezekiel got to a point that it was so deep that he could not bear it. He could not cross through it. I've heard people preach this all the time. You know where we're at? We're not where it's trickling out from underneath the throne. If I could use it in that context, that happened on the day of Pentecost. Where we are at is where the river is over our heads. And you know what? If we'll just jump in, if we'll just go with the flow of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that we cannot do as a church. Hallelujah. And it's going to touch everybody. It's going to touch everybody. People, I'm just going to say it again. I'm throwing this out there. How many of you remember? I got to shut up. How many remember back in October, November when I told you that Korea, North and South Korea, are going to become one nation? Anybody remember me saying that? Oh, we're getting closer, aren't we? We're getting closer. I think we're going to see it happen. We're going to see it happen. So you know, whenever God does it, He'll do it, but it's happening. Watch this. You're going to see people walk in this door that you've never seen before, but you're going to recognize their face. And the reason why you're going to recognize their face is because you saw them in visions and dreams and praying. God showed you them, and they're going to walk in this place. I feel in the Holy Ghost right now. And your job, because He's already revealed them to you, your job is going to be to go to that person and to minister to them in the Holy Ghost, and God is going to use you as a conduit. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. I got to shut up. I got to quit. I feel the Holy Ghost here so strong, and I got to turn it off. Would you lift your hands? Lord God, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to hear. Let us walk in your blessings. Let us walk in your power and your demonstration. Let us know your will and your way at all times. Help us to get to a place, God, where we believe that our faith is strong and that there is no doubt. Let it become a culture in this church. Let it become a culture in our heart. In the name of Jesus, Lord, it's time. You've turned it on. This season is here. And God, it's time for us to take that big leap forward. In the name of Jesus, release it upon us. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great night.